Welcome to Theater Quest Podcast, episode 2. I wanted to talk a little bit about Enneagram. So Lisa and I were having a rather fascinating discussion this morning on my workaholism. And it, you know, it's getting to the point, so I'll kind of set the stage a little bit. It's getting to the point where I think the kids are starting to notice, right? Like, especially our oldest, she's a very intuitive sort of person. And when we were having this conversation,
it was actually your six-year-old. He was the one that was
there. You could see that it bothered her. Sure, he noticed too. But I think he felt like maybe I was missing out on something. It was like he was bothered for a different reason. But our oldest especially, like, you could tell it's starting to bother her that Dad works so much. And so we had this conversation that I'm not supposed to work today, and then I agreed to be a weasel, and this will be the one thing I get to do for work today.
And then I'm cutting you off.
And then I'm going dark until tomorrow. But so it's an interesting discussion, and ultimately, right? You know, I told Elise, I said it comes back to, I mean, this is why I think part of knowing your Enneagram number is so beneficial. Because what it really tries to do is get at your core fear and why it is that, you know, maybe you do some of the things that you do. And so I will tell you, it was in the announcement about going live, but I am, if you are aware of the Enneagram, great. If you're not, let me give you just the quick overview. The Enneagram is a typology test that gets at what it is that makes you you. But the reason I like it more than maybe some of the others is that it also talks a bit about what you look like at your best, what you look like at your worst, topics and areas for growth. You know, this is what I look like when I'm healthy and when I'm unhealthy. So basically there are 9 types, and everybody fits into one of these 9 types. And it gets at a story, an experience, a happenstance, something that occurred to you in your life that has kind of taught you the lens by which you view the world. And so the Enneagram kind of looks and says there are 9 lenses, and all of them are normal, and all of them are acceptable, and all of them are valid, and all of them have good points and bad points. And what we need to do is be aware of those. And so I won't go into all of the 9 types. I've actually done an Enneagram training. If you are watching this in any of the forms, whether you join us on the live stream or you catch this on YouTube or you get my podcast, and you want kind of my 30-minute Enneagram overview and just giving you kind of a quick plunge into it, leave a comment below, and I'll reach out to you and send it to you via email. You don't need to leave your email publicly. That's a bit weird and invasive. But let me know that you want it, and I'll reach out to you, and we'll find a way to connect there. So we're not going to spend 30 minutes going into the Enneagram and what it is. But what you need to know for the sake of this conversation is that I am an Enneagram 3. That is kind of your high achiever. That is your person who finds lots of value and perspective in what they do. And this overriding fear that I have then as an Enneagram type 3 is a fear of being worthless, being seen as of not having value. Elise, here to my left, if you're watching this, that's weird. There's no other person in the video. It's not like there's anybody to my right.
To your right, like the cat's over there.
Bo does not have an Enneagram type. He's just a cat.
He's a 9. He's a 9.
He's a 9. He's an unhealthy 9. All he does is sleep.
Ooh.
Ooh. Elise here, if you're watching this, is a 9. I love my 9. And 9s are the people. They can often be hard to diagnose. You're not wrong with you.
Yeah, right.
You mean nothing wrong to identify.
Keep going.
9s can be hard to identify because they end up looking a lot like Enneagram types. They are the peacemakers. And so Elise has had a story and a narrative emerge in her life that conflict is bad and should be avoided, and works hard to keep the peace. And we'll talk more about that. I'm sure she will be a recurring guest on the podcast here. Mm-hmm. One, because I like her. Two, because I don't have any other friends.
Also, so, I live here.
You live here. So there are 3 perfectly good reasons about why you'll be seeing her a lot. So there we go. So she is the peacemaker, and will do whatever the situation, whatever she feels like the situation is saying for her to do to try to keep the peace. And so, briefly, I think one of the funny stories about you, whether you know it, because this happened long before you knew that you were a 9. But I think this is even back when we were in college. Like, it was a while ago. Maybe in my master's program. But, you know, certainly like a decade or so ago. But I remember you and I were having a conversation, and you said something like, "Justin, I'm not sure I know my own personality that well, because whatever friend I'm around, I end up looking like them." Mm-hmm. And it was, one of the instances where I remember that happening is it was actually your vocal teacher in college. Like,
yeah.
Shout out to Holly, yeah. Right? Dr. Schwartz and Druber.
Yes.
Right? Like, you'd hang around Holly a lot, and then you'd end up acting like Holly. Or then yeah. you'd go hang around your friend, and you'd yeah. act like your friend. Mm-hmm. Or, right? Like, that's a very type 9 sort of personality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this person clearly has this personality, and they clearly like themselves. Maybe I should be like that. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there's a little bit about, that's what the 9 looks like.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So even a decade ago, before we were introduced to the Enneagram, can look back and see you as a type 9. Anyway, so what we want to do, we want to jump into this. I have... Oh, no. See, I'm sitting here trying to get fancy. I created a poll, and I don't know how to actually bring it up. So if there's a poll on your screen, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, go ahead and answer the poll question. But it's essentially, do you know your Enneagram type, right? Yes or no? If you do, great. If you don't, I will educate you at a later date. Mm-hmm. But let's dive in. So one of the reasons I wanted to create this episode in particular, right? So this is episode 2 of the Leader Quest podcast, is to actually talk about this tension, right? Like, I haven't had a day off this week. I, if left my own devices, would not have a day off this week because I want to work. I find a lot of value in working hard, and I can look at the list of things that I want to get done today that are work-based and feel worthless and feel lazy, and if I'm honest, just kind of feel invalidated that I'm not working today, that because of this wonderful woman next to me, I'm being forced into a day off minus the podcast.
And I'm being forced into it.
And you're being forced into it. So we're struggling with what it looks like for me to take a day off as my kind of, welcome Matthew Morris. Thanks for joining us on the live stream.
Matthew Morris,
we know that cat.
I know that man.
I'll tell you a funny story since we're diving in, since Matt's the first one that joined us. When I first met his wife, she goes, "You should hang out with my husband. He's cool." So I have since met Matt, and I will vouch for that.
Yeah.
Matt is cool. So thanks for joining us, Matt. So we're talking about my struggle with the day off, right? Enneagram, I'm this type 3, I'm a high achiever. And I wrestle with what it looks like to kind of relax. And so Elisa's like, "Well, you're going to have to help me with this because it doesn't make any sense to
no,
me."
No, I didn't sound like an old man.
You didn't sound like an old man. But she very lovingly said that I need to walk her through like this internal struggle and dialogue that I feel because she doesn't get it, right? Because she's not a type 3.
Right.
So I asked her, I said, "Great. Then I want you to prepare some questions. We're going to hop on this live. It's only taking us 10 minutes to get into this. You have some questions for me, right?" Okay. So I want you to ask your questions as a type 9 to a type 3. Mm-hmm. And I will answer them honestly, which, again, can be hard for type 3. Not that I want to be dishonest, but, like, so a bit more about the type 3 as the high achiever. I want to always, at the very least, number one, I want to be successful, right? Like, that's kind of my overriding narrative,
yeah.
Which is great. So one of the things I like about the Enneagram is it tells you what you like at your best, right? I have this desire to be a high achiever. I can work hard. I want to be successful. However, a type 3 might want to define success. But the reason I think the Enneagram is so great is because it says what's your best quality can also be your worst quality if you're not careful. And so I have this desire to be successful, but that means that at my worst, if I'm not, I at least want to appear successful. Mm-hmm. And so type 3s, if they're unhealthy, can have a tendency to cut corners and especially run over people. Like the task becomes more important than the person if a type 3 gets to be unhealthy.
Yeah.
Are you going to go live on your Facebook page?
Okay.
She has real friends.
I was going to share it.
Oh, she actually has friends that would watch this.
I don't even know.
No, it's on my face, my Next Steps one. Coaching page.
Okay, my bad.
But yeah, if you want to share it. Anyway, so if you have a question, if you're watching this live, either on my channel Elise, if she goes live, there we are. Look, she's going to share it. You can watch us on her channel now, too. But anyway, let's dive in now. Okay. So there's a bit about me. So I will agree to answer honestly these questions so that people get a real sense of just like what the struggle is like to be a three and how I can look at my best and how I can look at my worst. So you've had almost an hour to think of some questions. I've been rambling for 12 minutes now. Elise, lay the first question on me.
I'm gonna lay it down.
Lay it down. Okay. Let's smack down.
Okay. So my question is so I'm a nine, and I told Justin I kind of naturally find pockets, we'll call them pockets.
Pockets.
Throughout the day where I can rest and kind of draw back a little bit so that I don't become this really big bundle of nerves. You've seen me like a big bundle of nerves.
You're
and
big
that's
bundle of nerves.
And that's when like I've been moving and grooving all day long without like rest. And so
yeah.
I really, really value these moments of reprieve, even if it's just going to the bathroom with the door locked.
Yeah, she's a mom. You can't tell. It's right? The highlight of her day.
Right.
Solo bathroom trip.
But I'm sure it looks different for other people in the workplace.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I find those. And so when you told me, like, oh, it's so hard to shut it off, I look at that and I'm just like, really?
No,
really?
No, it's not. It's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like my perspective is you should just, like, shut it off and just stop. And so you need to help me, talk me through that emotion of just not, you know, of not being able to shut it off. And to really find peace and relaxation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'll say a couple of things. If I can remember them all.
Yeah.
first, so this is the one question. I still come up with three. I don't know if you actually have three. But this is the one question right before we went live, she kind of primed me out. So I knew like what the other two questions are, I don't know. But this is the one, and I think the way you phrased it before we went live was that you look for these moments to get lost. Right, I want to stare at my phone, or I want to go hide in the bathroom, or like I need to go get lost so that I can recharge. And I actually like that because that is something like that's the sort of language that I can like I resonate with that. And I think this is what I find so endearing about the Enneagram type is I would agree that I need to get lost, but we want to get lost in very different things. Mm-hmm. I want to get lost in productivity and in my work. Right. And so even as a different Enneagram type, I would say, I would understand your perspective very well. Having been married to you for almost 13 years now, we're just a few days shy of lucky number 13. Mm-hmm. And I can speak as a three, or at least my perspective on a three. But if you're watching this or listening to this and know your Enneagram type, let me know if you resonate with this and whatever your number is. But we would probably all feel the sense or the need to get lost, but we want to get lost in very different things. Yeah. And so you want to get lost, I would guess, at a time where maybe you've sensed some conflict or made up a conflict in your head and you want to retreat to keep the peace internally.
Either that, or just like if I see an opening in my day where it's like, oh, there's going to be like a 30-minute lull. Like, oh, that's my time.
You want that lull.
If I'm being healthy, like I'll go do something like that I enjoy, like playing my guitar or something. That's
going,
like
going for a run.
That's a yes, and that's a healthy.
Right. And that's a very healthy nine sort of attitude, right?
I do unhealthy nines too.
Nines can be so focused on keeping the peace that they lose themselves.
And another unhealthy one would be like eating a box of cereal, like the whole box.
You ever done that?
I don't know.
So I would agree that I think both of our types, again, if you're watching this and have an idea on your type, let me know. But my guess is we could all, at some degree, identify with the language of getting lost. It just then depends upon our perspective, our Enneagram number, what it is that we want to get lost into. The reason I have trouble turning it off is because I enjoy getting lost, but I enjoy getting lost in systems, in productivity, in work and, I mean, ultimately, right, if I'm a three, my idealized version of myself is success, however I want to define that.
Your checklist.
My checklist. And especially as a business owner, I can look and say, even if my business is doing well, there's probably some place that I could shore up some efficiency and make it do better. And I want to get lost in that, in trying to solve this problem. And so when I can't get lost in my work, it can, I mean, in unhealthy ways, lead to some really bad habits on not being able to turn it off, right? And if you want just an overview, so I'll say this. The healthiest three that I know is Michael Hyatt. I think he took like 187 days off last year because he is very clear on his why, on what his success is. Anyway, so follow Michael Hyatt, especially if you're a type three and want to know how to do it well. There's nobody doing it better. Don't follow me. I mean, follow me, but don't take his advice much so more.
But what that makes me think of is what I want this day off, this Sabbath, or whatever you want to call it. What I don't want it to be is another checklist. It's more special than that. It doesn't
absolutely
like it. And so that's why I like Michael Hyatt. If he's like, maybe if he's a three, like he had to make his rest be over and beyond.
Yes.
Than like just a simple day.
Right.
So somehow, like, you know, how can that be for you that it's not just this, oh, well, it's checklist, I didn't do anything yesterday.
I get a check that I didn't create a checklist.
Right. Yeah, like, it has to be more special than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so one of the things that he says, and this is where I would admit and say this is where I struggle. But, he takes a month-long sabbatical every year, just him and his wife, and they go somewhere in the world and do something fun. But he says, we have this agreement that we don't think about work, we don't talk about work, and we don't do work.
We are violating every single one of those
rules on my day off. But even outside of that, like, even if we weren't making this right now, I still think I would struggle with that. Like, again, and that would be one of my growth areas that I need to do is to work on that. I was having a conversation online this week actually with an Enneagram coach, and she wanted to know how I handle this, and I was much healthier then because it was like a Tuesday and I had practiced some good discipline and habits. But I said, you know, like the ultimate thing for me is success, right? And so the hard part, like the allure, is that I can chase any metric of success that I want to and make it sound valid. Right. Well, I made $100,000 last year. I want to make $250,000 this year. Or I have a good relationship with my wife. I want a great relationship. Or I've got two kids and I want five kids. Right. Like I can define success however I want to. So I was talking with her on Instagram. She'd made a post on this, and she's like, "How do you do that?" I said, "Well, when I'm healthy, I know what my real reason for success is." And I said, "I list it intentionally." My family is always first, right? The relationship of my marriage and my kids matter more than the business. And then second, I would say success is my business. And third, and maybe closely related to it, maybe not fair to think of it as like a two and three because they're so closely related in what I do. But it's the impact that I have on the lives of my clients, right? Those that I'm actually working with in the coaching relationship.
So you need to be more excited about like the product of it rather than like obsessively working over like the process.
Yes. And I need to realize that I can't say my family is my ultimate definition of success and then not structure that accordingly in the week, mm-hmm. right? So I can sort of fully look and say, I got maybe 4 hours of sleep last night because we have four kids and none of them are capable of
sleeping. Hey, you're one of those.
They get it from me, right? At least can sleep. I'm jealous.
Like a hippo in the water.
But... So I didn't sleep well. So I can identify, and I couldn't have done this years ago. This has been part of my own growth over the last couple of years. I could identify today that there are some unhealthy habits and patterns that I'm fighting today, right? That a couple of years ago I'd been like, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm going to go work and try and figure it out. And today I can look and say, uh-oh, it's because I'm tired.
Ding ding ding.
It's because I'm overstressed.
Yeah.
It's because I haven't gotten enough sleep. Then I can actually kind of identify this. So I am getting better, right? But like the struggle for me is to say, am I crystal clear on what success looks like for me? Mm-hmm. And then I would think that I am, right? Because I know that it's you and the kids
Right.
The danger then is to fall for a sort of, and I'll use a very adult word here, like to fall for like a bastardized version of that, right?
Sure.
Success to me is the impact and influence that I have on my family first and foremost. And when I am unhealthy, I can fall for, well, let me do something else to feel successful in the moment, right? Get a blog post out, make a sales call, write an email. Like, ultimately, I can look and say that's a lesser version of success. But if I'm unhealthy or if I'm tired or if I'm overstretched, I don't necessarily care about that. I just want to have some sort of internal affirmation that I am successful.
And what can I do to help you? I mean, what can I do to help you in those moments?
Yeah. I don't like it, but you already do it. that's to remind me of what that true definition of success is yesterday, in the moment, right? Like, so yesterday, got home from work and sat down to eat breakfast, and the kids, all four of them came and sat in my lap.
Laid their warm bodies on top of your already sweaty body.
We have an unconditioned house, unair-conditioned house in the middle of a California summer. And four little furnace boxes felt like touching me. Again, years ago, my natural response would be to just get very, like, angry and don't touch me and go to the bedroom and sit by myself. Yeah. I've grown at least a little bit in the last couple of years. And I learned to tolerate it. And then in my really good moments, I actually learned to enjoy it. Because that's, success in that moment is I can tell that I've been gone a lot. I can tell that I've been working a lot because if I'm here and we're in a good rhythm, they're very like, okay, dad's going to work. Bye. We'll see you later.
Right.
And I can come home and they can give me a hug and we just kind of carry on with life.
They feel very like,
they feel very loved and affirmed and valued. And when I'm gone too much, then it starts to be that, you know, they're hanging on my leg or they're crying when I try to leave or I walk in the door like yesterday and they don't let me go. This morning kind of happened again. So this morning was another one of those checklist items of like, okay, put the phone down. Put the computer away, spend time with the family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a weird way, like you're already doing it because you're trying to keep a peace. You know, you're trying to keep the peace in our house. And that for you is the kids, and what they need is me. You know, and so in a weird way, like you do it. It's just when I'm tired, I don't necessarily like to hear it, right? Because I'm like I can fall prey to if I'm not careful.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with the kids doesn't give me, and I'll use air quotes for anybody just listening to this, doesn't give me the feeling.
We'll have like a sound like.
doesn't give me the feeling of success.
Yeah.
Whereas a blog post or a video or a coaching call does, right? And so an unhealthy three will chase that, right? Like I'm a drug addict, right? I want the feeling of that high.
Yeah.
And that means getting the email out, getting the phone call made, those sorts of things. Spending time with my family doesn't necessarily, if I'm not careful, it doesn't produce that feeling. And so I can try to chase it. Anyway, so there's that. Speaking of kids, she has to run really quickly. Do you have a second question? I'll answer this. I'll wrap it up. I try to keep the podcast around 30 minutes. We're at 25. So okay. I've got like 5 minutes to play with, and then because I got to record the intro and outro. So,
Okay, so let's talk about yesterday because you've had different reactions to the kids like piling up on you like that, and I see it. And so yesterday, like, what was your mindset when they were all there, and I could tell you're like, and like you could have gone both ways.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do to calm yourself down and be like, Justin, this is really what you want.
Right.
This is what you've always wanted.
That, like, honestly, that's become the intro. First thing I do is I stop and I breathe. Because naturally, like, as I tense, anybody, when you tense up, like you take shorter, quicker breaths. And I force myself to, like, that nice, deep, relaxing inhale. And that, like, it gives me the mental space. It grounds me to be able to say, this is ultimately what you want. And, you know, I think there's one quick story here as we wrap up. A couple of months ago, I was so, like, I bet I got maybe 2 hours of sleep that night, like, and then the kids were all over me, And I remember sitting on the couch, and I think one of them tried to tickle me. And, right, and I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I don't particularly like being tickled anyway. And one of them went to tickle me. And, like, I remember this thought pattern clear as day. It was like, Justin, you are either going to absolutely lose it on them. And I mean, like, royally call the cops, Justin lost his mind, lose it. Or you need to laugh. And I don't know if you remember this, but I started laughing. And I bet I didn't stop laughing for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And the kids thought that it was the greatest thing ever. And they thought that they were it didn't tickle at all. It actually kind of hurt because kids are terrible ticklers. But like from their perspective, oh, I'm tickling Dad. He must love this. And they just like went to town.
Mm-hmm.
And like I remember thinking like I'm trying to stop laughing. And I could not. I literally could not force myself.
Yeah.
To stop laughing until I was so exhausted that I just had to quit.
Yep.
You know, like, then I just laid on the ground. Like, I literally couldn't move for, like, 10 minutes then. That's the sort of thing that I have to remember. I can either become so stressed out by this allure of success that I end up chasing something that doesn't really matter. Or I take that deep breath, I focus, I clarify my values, and I say, what good is a successful business going to be to me if I reach this journey by myself and I lose my wife and my kids along the way, right? Like, I would be appalled to have my kids get to adulthood and say, yeah, my dad is wildly successful and super rich, but he was a jerk of a father, right? Like, that's not what I'm chasing. So those are the sorts of things that I have to remind myself. That as I am pursuing this idea of success, right? And I think especially starting a business, it can be hard, right? So I'll speak briefly here to business owners, to entrepreneurs, as we wrap up here, final thoughts. Especially when you're in the throes of starting a business. And you can kind of look and say, we're close, but we're not there yet. And we need to make more money, or I need to have some more contacts, or we need to make a few more sales, or whatever it is to kind of like, you know, make the business sustainable, to realize, you know, this is why I started this business. That if you're not quite there, the temptation to fall for something less than becomes extraordinarily easy. Let me say no to family time so that I can say yes to getting out a few more emails. Let me say no to self-care so that I can say yes to getting that next sales call in. But whatever it is, we can always settle for the less because it's quite easy to do so. And so an encouragement to anybody, type 3 or otherwise, that is starting their own business, to make sure that you remain crystal clear on your why and not to fall for that allure, that false sense of success, security, identity, safety. Making sure you stay really clear on that is ultimately what is going to matter. So there's my final thoughts. Elise has to go. She's going to go get her kids. I am going to wrap this up. We are right about the 30-minute mark, which is close to where I want to keep it, something that I feel like you can listen to quickly and concisely. Hopefully this has been of help. If you joined us on Facebook Live, thank you. Please be sure to share these posts. We're going to be doing this every Sunday. As a way to try to encourage you to start your week. And I've talked about this before, that the number one time that suicides happen in the U.S. is Sundays, especially Sunday nights, because people dread the thought of going to a job they hate on Monday mornings, and I do not want that for you. So we will be providing some positive, uplifting, encouraging stuff for you on Sundays to help you get crystal clear on your why, progress as a leader, and ultimately reach that full version of yourself. So if you joined us on Facebook Live, thank you for that. If you are catching this on my YouTube channel, thank you for watching there. If you haven't subscribed, please go and do so already. You can find me at Next Steps Coaching. And if you are catching this on my website, justinhebert.com, it also gets uploaded into the podcast universe. So on iTunes, be sure to catch it at any of those locations. It is audio only on iTunes. You want to see the full crazy stuff that we get into, like last week we ate some horned melon fruit. This week was a live interview with Elise. So we always do some fun video stuff. So if you want to see what it is that my family is up to while we record this podcast, I promise you that we just kind of like make it live and raw and uncut, and you see kids walk in and they ask questions live on the air because that's just my family, right? And if that's my ultimate version of success and the ultimate reason why I'm doing what it is that I'm doing, I want you to be a part of that. So with that, we're going to wrap up episode 2 of the Leader Quest podcast. I'm Justin. I'm your host. I run Next Steps Coaching that helps leaders lead well and lead effectively by creating healthy and sustainable habits so that they can lead for the long term, avoid burnout, and reach their maximum influence and impact in the world. If there's any way that I can help you, please leave a comment, shoot me a message, leave me a DM. You can follow me on all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube are the ones that I check the most. I'm on there daily helping you on each of those channels get some great content. Find more on my blog at justinhebert.com or see if working together is right for you. I offer a free complimentary coaching call to everybody. So even if you want to know what coaching is like and if it would be something that could potentially benefit you, whether it's me or not, I offer a free complimentary call. So be sure to book yours. You can do that on my website, justinhebert.com. I'll leave a link in the description below to all of these places. With that, we'll see you next Sunday on the Leader Quest podcast. The Leader Quest podcast, filmed, edited, and uploaded by Justin Hebert of Next Steps Coaching. Music by Kayani.